So, Damien, what's on your list?
Currently, I know the listener can't see, but I actually have the Galaxy Watch 6 Classic currently. But I have, this is going to sound really horrible, I have been testing the Apple Watch Series 8 for, I say testing, I've been wearing it for a long time. Because, yeah, I've kind of in between, I'm always in between wearables anyway. But for me personally, I never really know what I want. Mm. But because I'm trying to get into more into the gym as a consistency thing, I just love the fitness features of the Apple Watch. And I pair that even without a phone. I think I said that in the previous podcast that I don't even use it with an iPhone very often. I just like the auto tracking and just seeing where I am. And yeah, that's now, 6 months ago, if you'd have asked me, it would have been the Pixel Watch first gen. But my goodness, that watch took a battering by me. It's scratched up to hell. And the battery life is not holding up like I hoped it would have 10 months ago.
So yeah, I remain a two-watch person, a two-smart
watch
person.
Oh yeah, I forgot you're
person.
A two-watch guy. Yeah, you're a dual wielder. Yeah,
all the time. It's
what are you currently wearing now? I know the last time I spoke to you, I think it was Apple Watch and Pixel Watch first gen.
Yep. So, it is. So I have the Pixel Watch 2, and I'm still wearing the Series 8. I did not upgrade on the Apple Watch front. But yeah, the Pixel Watch 2 has been a significant difference in terms of speediness, and the UI is just hands down, it's just so much faster and so much more modern in terms of how fast things are compared to the original. So that was truly a big upgrade. And I went from the Wi-Fi only to the LTE version. Have you used cellular on the watch much?
No, I haven't. To be honest, I know that I know what you're hinting at. So when I had the Pixel Watch first gen, it is the LTE version. But I never bothered. I was kind of like, I've always tend to be tethered to something. I do think now you mention it, I probably should look at that for the Apple Watch. But I guess I think the biggest problem for me is that I don't necessarily see the value in having a cell plan or a SIM-only plan here in the UK just for data for my watch, because it's like the ubiquity of Wi-Fi means I can just connect anywhere. Like even in my gym, there's free Wi-Fi like everywhere. Obviously, we're a small country. Wi-Fi is so, the coverage is so good that I'm only maybe minutes between places. So if I can, usually the small screen makes it irritating, but if I can be bothered to pair my watch to a Wi-Fi network, then I get all the benefits of a device without having to pay for an LTE or a data plan.
That is absolutely interesting.
Do you pay separately for the plan, or is it part of like
so
a package?
It's Google Fi. It's smartwatches are free on Google Fi. So my setup is I have multiple watches and therefore I have multiple phones, specifically multiple Android phones. So when I'm out of the house, my Pixel Watch 2 is always on LTE. Just because. So I've been using LTE so much more in the past since getting the Pixel Watch 2. And honestly, battery life has been great. Like getting incoming messages, like those apps like Google Messages and WhatsApp, where it's only one per device. You can only have one instance of the app. So it's been really great for that. And like with the original Pixel Watch, even though I did have the LTE version, but I never used it because I was just so fearful of the battery impact. But with the Pixel Watch 2, it's totally a non-concern. So again, like I think that's a meaningful upgrade in terms of battery. And I kind of think where we are with battery life is in a pretty good place. What's your experience been?
I think I'm very much like, I hate to say like a low / medium user of anything. Like I charge my Pixel 8 Pro once every couple of days. I charge most of my devices like once every couple of days because I don't, because obviously editing video and being basically being tethered to the internet, I'm not necessarily going as many places as I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
On a weekend, it's a little bit different, but with a smartwatch, I'm once every couple of days. I don't seem to use and abuse a smartwatch as much as I do my phone. I use it mainly, like, I don't know if you're in the same group as me. I'm pretty sure you are. Like, I hate vibrations on my phone. Haptic feedback's enough. I do not want my phone to make any noise. I don't want any distractions. I just want it to sit there as a silent little box that that interacts. When I interact with it, then it can do its thing. So I have no vibration apart from keyboard feedback on my devices.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what it is. But the smartwatch is kind of nice because I get a vibration on my wrist to know that there's a notification waiting, because I'm very much of a turn the screen face down. I don't want distractions.
Mm-hmm.
So having a smartwatch that does that is all that it needs to be in a lot of ways. So I'm kind of always looking at Wear OS and thinking, is there a killer application for me that I'm going to use? And most of the time it's just, I want better fitness tracking, I guess. That's mm-hmm. kind of where I'm at. Like, I don't know. How do you find like replying to messages on such a small display like the Pixel Watch 2? Because it is tiny.
It is tiny. And that's, again, per our report last week, where something like a 45mm Pixel Watch 3 will be a great improvement. But yes, the screen is tiny. And it's interesting. I do use voice replies more times than not on the Pixel Watch 2. Even though I think Gboard is surprisingly passable, especially compared to what the Apple Watch keyboard solution is. So yeah, I do use voice. I think that's where I use voice replies the most, in terms of all my devices. It has to be the watch. So I'm kind of comfortable with that. But yeah, the screen size really doesn't show a lot. Messages in Google Messages, it's fine. Like Gmail can show a lot of more information than you'd expect, but it's not necessarily a good experience. You're using which size Galaxy Watch?
I think it's the biggest one because, like, I have fairly I have fairly normal wrists. Like, I'm holding it up to show you, but.
Sadly,
the listener can't see. But it is, to me, it feels absolutely humongous. Like, this is uncomfortably big.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wristwatch that, for me, would be too much. Like, anything where I move my wrists in any way, like typing or having my hand at an angle, it's digging into the side of my hand.
Really?
And I'm moving it up my wrist. I'm moving it up my wrist, and I'm like, that doesn't feel comfortable. So I'm kind of in like I'm kind of like in this no man's land of like, where do I place the watch on my wrist? Mm-hmm. And it's like, whereas, like we said in the previous podcast, hopefully people listen to that one, is that with a smaller watch face option and a size option, I think that kind of fits us, like someone like me who's like a medium wrist.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like you're probably better off going for the smaller one. But to contradict myself, I have the Series 8 Apple Watch, and I believe that's 45mm, not 44. But I'm not sure if it's just the square shape that seems to fit my wrist a bit better. I tried the 41mm and that looked weird.
It's actually interesting. With the Apple Watch, this is a years old observation, but for some reason, I'm fine with the 45mm Apple. I have the 41, I have the smallest Apple Watch, but the slightly bigger one actually looks fine on my wrist. And I haven't found that to be the case with larger Wear OS watches, but I don't know. There might be something, like you were saying, with the rectangular size making something bigger feel.
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet it's like a perception thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I always find like I think this is one problem maybe with Wear OS in general, is that they always want to seem seemingly huge, bulky watches because they're bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can have something that has a bigger display but is slim. So I'm really hoping that obviously, if Samsung do eventually do that, potentially do that square size, that they do something similar. But I also would like to see the Pixel Watch 3, have that larger size, but try and keep things slim. I really like that profile.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a wristwatch, and I really, really like the design of it.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned, like there's this rumor that Samsung is going to switch over to a rectangular form factor. And I think that leads to a broader discussion of where OS is going. So the past few years, so Wear OS really had a renaissance of sorts with Wear OS 3 in 2021. Just before that, the platform was almost dead. It, like, the most prominent device from that era, from that pre-Wear OS 3 era,
it's got to be TicWatch, right? It's got to be the TicWatch Pro 3, maybe?
I was actually going to say that LG smartwatch that had physical hands. For some reason, that is like that was emblematic of like where Wear OS was not going anywhere, because that's where the state of the art seemingly was, a watch with physical hands. But again, like the Samsung partnership really reinvigorated the operating system, and that Galaxy Watch 4 serving as the flagship. And I'm sure like some people are still using that Galaxy Watch 4.
The form factor is incredible. Like, the weirdest thing is I love the fact that Samsung hasn't drifted too far away from their accessories ecosystem for the Galaxy Watch series. So I still have the Galaxy Watch 4 kicking around, and I'll often charge it and use it sometimes because I just love the form factor. It's beaten up. It's taken a few dings and stuff. And I feel like, if I'm going to go somewhere and I can just about get a day and a little bit from that watch, like, it's not the best in terms of battery, but as soon as I start doing anything, like we go for a long walk or something and you're using GPS and stuff, it starts to take a hit. But the form factor, I think they nailed it first try. Like, they'd had a lot of opportunities, right? So I just think that it'll be weird to see Samsung, who has almost led on the front foot with this relaunched Wear OS platform, and if they change their form factor, is everybody else going to follow suit? I'm not really sure. It feels a bit strange for Samsung to do that when they have a really probably the most popular Wear OS watch, right?
Easily. Again, for over a year before the Pixel Watch came out in October of 22, that was the de facto Wear OS watch to get, and it was a pretty good one, pretty good start. So yeah, the Pixel Watch came next. And in terms of just like hardware innovation, I would say like the next big moment for this new Wear OS was Qualcomm announcing the Snapdragon W5 in mid-22. In terms of like giving, historically, Wear OS chips were just struggling in performance. They were built on old process nodes, and you could really feel the performance of those first three or four generations of smartwatch chips, and it changed. And like the W5 is what powers the Pixel Watch 2, and it's what's powering these modern crop of Wear OS 4 watches. And again, like the chip, Qualcomm deciding to do something modern, to put in the R&D effort to put a pretty good chip in a small form factor, that's really helped this current renaissance of sorts.
Yeah, it makes sense though, doesn't it? Like, if we look at it from a capitalistic perspective, that Qualcomm has like the huge market share anyway in terms of chipsets. So why would they not invest the R&D into wearables, where if you're an Android user, which makes up like 50% of the planet, if you want an accessory, you're gonna want one that works properly with your Android phone. Like, hey, we can sit here and speak as people who have an Apple Watch, but like, it doesn't work with my Android phone. So I have multiple Wear OS watches. I have non-Wear OS watches as well. And I think for most people, they're going to want, well, maybe not most people, but there are going to be people out there who want the best of the best, but on their wrist. Like, they want the Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 powered smartphone, but they also want the W5 Plus, the new one. Like, they might want that on their wristwatch because the perceived benefits that come with that is huge. And yeah, it's interesting to see where it came from, because like, my first introduction to any Wear OS watch was, I think, the TicWatch E, the original. And wow, that does, that feels like a long time ago, but in terms of like smartwatches, it's not that long, is it? Like 2017, maybe?
My first watch. So I was at the crossroads between, I'm talking about original Android Wear. I was at the crossroads on whether to get the LG G Watch. It was a rectangular thing, which was honestly just a screen put on your wrist. There was like no design. Or the Moto 360. Beautiful thing. But an older chipset. I went with the Moto 360. But to this day, I think I should have gone with the G Watch. Because I think it had an always-on display or a better one. And like my Moto 360 is totally dead, courtesy of the Pacific Ocean. But that's a story for another day.
I just remember, seeing the Moto Watch, Moto 360, and one of my friends had one, and I just remember asking him at the time, like, so you have to charge it every day? And at the time, that just seemed insane. That just, like, I was not sold on smartwatches until probably, like, I'm going to be completely honest, like 2019, maybe.
Uh-huh.
I think I reached a point where I was like, actually, I kind of like the idea of a watch now. Like, maybe it was just my age. I'm not really sure. I was like, I have every other accessory. Maybe I should have that final piece of the puzzle, because obviously earbuds, I have hundreds of pairs of earbuds over the years, but I've never really had the watch thing, never really kind of tickled my fancy. And then I tried, I think it didn't help that I tried that TicWatch E, and it was atrocious. It looked good for its price point, but yeah, that really left a sour taste. And it's amazing to see how maybe we had the lowest of lows over that period of time, where nobody was really making any good Wear OS watches, and now there's this been renaissance, like you say, and Wear OS 3 feels like the tip of the spear a little bit. I think
absolutely.
Yeah, maybe we could see a few more like integrations with applications and stuff. I'd love to see more apps come to my wrist.
Maybe because I'm searching for that killer application.
Most of the time, as I said, it's fitness tracking. Mm-hmm. I really like basic fitness tracking. I'm not talking about sleep. That I could talk about that for days. I don't think anybody needs to track their sleep. Do you know you're tired? Yes. I don't need a smartwatch to say, oh, you had panda sleep, or you had whatever it is that they say on Fitbit, or the Galaxy Watch. Like, I don't care about that. People should. If you agree to, okay, right, maybe we'll talk about that as off air. But I think most of the time it's just seeing notifications, and then I'll proactively go and seek that out on my phone or my tablet, whatever it happens to be. The basic fitness element is like just tracking, like a, I don't know, weightlifting workout, 20-30 minutes on the treadmill, whatever it happens to be. I just want like basic stats so that I can go back and be like, okay, I did do that workout on this date. It's almost like a checklist. It's like keeping myself on the straight and narrow kind of situation. More so than anything else. I don't reply to messages directly from the watch because I just find the screen too finicky. The only thing I do use quite regularly is maybe if I have media controls I'll skip forward like a podcast and stuff, like when I'm cooking and things like that. But for the most part, I'm not really a heavy user. I'm not glued to my smartwatch screen. It's just, it literally is a timepiece with a little bit extra thrown in.
So I guess my big thing would be like always seeing certain bits of information all the time. On my watch face, the complications that I keep, it's the weather, knowing what the temperature is. And the Wear OS, the Google's latest weather app, is pretty good for it. I'm glad that has gotten a big upgrade. Heart rate, I just like knowing what my heart rate is. And when the sun sets, that's like a big thing that I like having awareness of all the time. When the sun sets, especially with daylight savings, getting an extra hour.
That's a good point, actually. That's good. I'm guessing your complications stay the same no matter which watch you use. Because personally, I hardly have any complications. Like, I will just keep the most basic watch. I want it to look, how would I describe that? You know,
do you use a digital face or an analog?
I prefer, if I'm being completely honest, analog is my favorite. Like, I prefer something like a Swatch, the most basic Swiss timepiece.
I also have a Swatch, yes.
Yeah. So, like, but I will say that the, I can't remember what the name of the watch face is on the Pixel Watch, but the one that it launched with, it's like a Resonance Type 33 watch face, is absolutely, genuinely, I think that's the best watch face ever made on a smartwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they ripped off a ridiculously expensive mechanical watch, but go for it. I think it looks amazing. Just having all of the mechanical elements in digitized and spinning, and I just love that. I think that's next level in terms of like making a smartwatch feel like an extension of your regular watch. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of what would you want? Is there anything that you want your watch to do more of in the future OS version, say, or is there like an app that you think would be the killer app?
It's a tough question.
Like for me, I'd say like I have a like Google app situation is pretty good right now. I don't really listen to on-device music. Like I don't really pair Bluetooth headphones with it, but YouTube music is fine. Spotify is even better from what people tell me. I use the Google Home app a lot because it's pretty powerful in terms of what it can do. And there's like a quick setting on the Pixel Watch that provides pretty fast access to it. We mentioned Gmail, but again, like I don't think the screen really makes sense to do that. Calendar with Google Tasks integration is something I'm a much bigger fan of. I always need to see what's on my task list. But yeah, it's like those are the biggest apps that Google released recently, and it's like it's a good sign of its commitment to the platform. But I don't know, like moving forward, there are a few more apps that I would like something as basic as the Compass app. Or calculator, even.
Yeah, Compass would be cool. Compass would be cool, definitely, if you do a lot of like hiking and walking and things. Yeah. I think that's kind of useful.
I think, like, I hope this is not the case, but it seems to me that Google's solution is for you to use Google Maps, to use, like, the live map view and, like, get an idea of the compass direction. But I think that's a bit overkill. Google Maps is something that was also recently updated with, to get transit directions, and way before that to work independently if you have an LTE connection. So again, that's another thing that's a sign that Google needed to do this. They needed to get all their first party apps on the list to encourage other people to invest. And that's been great. In terms of the OS itself, I think the next big moment for Wear OS is this 100-hour battery life. I'm doing air quotes. But it's basically this idea that you can offload so many tasks to the co-processor that you never have to wake up the main application processor, as it's called.
Yeah.
And this is clearly the next front. And I clearly expect all upcoming watches to get to this 100-hour milestone. And yeah, I'm really curious to experience that. Right now, the OnePlus Watch 2 is the big namesake for that. But I'm very curious to see what that looks like in my day-to-day life. You're already living with not having to charge daily. But I don't know. I think like...
Yeah, I think the only watch I used recently, which came close to achieving anywhere near like 100 hours was the Galaxy Watch 5 Pro, which I think is still available for sale, the titanium one. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I thought to myself, oh, I can foresee the future utility in an actual smart wearable that I can do more things on. Like I know that you can get like bands that maybe last like 6 weeks, or I know some of the Huawei watches would be a smartwatch in all but name. Like they could last genuinely like a month. And it's fine if you want the most basic of things, but the level of interactivity on those watches is very, very small. And like some of the some of the data that you derive from them is not great in terms of like accuracy and stuff. But yeah, having the Galaxy Watch 5 Pro with nearly 100 days, I think I did 4 days on it one time.
That's pretty good. And
that was with quite a bit of activity as well. I think it was at a trade show. So I was like, this is pretty impressive. But that felt like an exception to the rule. Like everything else is playing catch up, and it seems to be the case still. But yeah, that 100 hours seems like a very attainable goal. But I guess, how do you foresee that? Do you foresee that being backed by huge batteries and slightly bigger form factors, or could we potentially see? Because the dream would be, right, every single size of watch that you go out and buy, smartwatch, powered by Wear OS, is going to last 100 hours minimum. Uh-huh. And then you go beyond that. But I'm guessing the 100 hour like target is only going to be the biggest version of those particular wearables. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. I think big batteries paired with, again, the co-processor thing. So I wouldn't expect like a 41 millimeter Pixel Watch 3 to get that kind of battery life, unfortunately. But I think, like, even, again, I'm curious whether charging every other day is that big of a difference, or if you genuinely need to get to a third day in terms of like having this, again, 100-hour battery life feel meaningfully different to you.
For me, obviously talking from my own perspective, I think every two days is fine, and that third day would feel different, I guess. Yeah, like twice a week. Yeah. Twice a week rather than potentially four times a week, like on a regular basis. It depends, obviously, on usage. But to go from potentially charging four times a week to charging twice a week or once a week is pretty substantial. I'm sure not everyone else is in the same kind of boat as me, where they have to charge every day. But yeah, if you're going from, even if you went from charging once a day to charging once every 2 days, then I think you would see a big difference if you're a heavy user. Could it be enough of a reason for someone to pick your watch over somebody else? I can't really say, but it's a really good marketing gimmick at the very least. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, again, like this battery life thing. My big thing has been, why has nobody made an e-ink smartwatch after Pebble, which, mind you, Fitbit owns the assets, and now Google owns Fitbit. But the reason why is the apps. You can't have apps would have to be optimized for the refresh rate that e-ink offers. We're moving towards color e-ink finally in a meaningful way, so maybe that might help make apps feel richer and more interactive. But yeah, I don't think the refresh rate would greatly limit the interactivity of apps. And maybe that's something we could have once Wear OS is a bit more mature, like getting the developer buy-in to like update their apps to feel slightly better on something that refreshes so slowly in comparison to OLED and LCD and whatnot. So I think it would be a very interesting direction to go if we can have e-ink would absolutely get us to 1 week battery life paired with modern chips and slightly bigger batteries. I hope we get to that point at some point, even if it's just like an experimentation or one-off device. But I think that's where I could see like future Wear OS innovation coming from. And also another thing that you brought up earlier was the band form factor. Huawei, Fitbit has the Charge series, obviously. Samsung might be getting back into that with the Fit 3. I wonder if Wear OS, like down the road in terms of
could it be shoehorned into that? Could it be shoehorned into that form factor?
That's, and again, like, I think the limiting factor there would be the apps. You need developer buy-in to optimize apps for that a slim rectangle. I'm guessing that
tiny form factor. I'm thinking of the Xiaomi bands. Like, those screens have increased exponentially. Like, some of them are like 1.5 inches mm-hmm. compared to like the tiniest little digital display. Like, I'm guessing if Wear OS could go into like a widget mode, I don't know, it just gives you key information.
Oh, tiles.
Tiles could work. Yeah, tiles could definitely work in that form factor. But yeah, like you say, I guess it depends if WhatsApp, if Spotify, whoever, see value in that. Because like if they're the smallest of these small install base, then I guess it doesn't make financial sense for them to spend the R&D time to do that. But
and again, like the battery life, you'd have to get a chip in there. Because like the best part of bands are these battery lives, as we were talking about earlier. And I don't think you should give that up to run full Wear OS. So in terms of, again, hardware innovation, I think where things could go a little bit wilder is cameras on smartwatches. What do you think about that?
Would you use it? Oh, I don't know. This is a strange one because we've seen these, the smaller Chinese companies try and do it, and they basically run what is effectively full smartphone version of Android on a wristwatch. With regards to cameras, I don't know. It's a strange one. I think it could happen. I think it probably would make sense in the long term. Like, imagine you could just scan a QR code from your watch,
mm-hmm.
or like, yeah, like I guess there is.
What
I
is
don't
the
know. Really
killer
don't know.
Use case of that? Is it like QR code stuff? Is it like taking a picture when you're on a run and you only have your watch?
Yeah, maybe like Strava people would love that. Like you can go on a run and take an upload to your Strava account. Like, that'd be amazing. But I guess...
Is it video calling? Looking at it.
See, yeah, I was about to say something like video calling or... Could we potentially see something like Face ID on a watch before we saw an actual usable camera? Like, does that make sense? I feel like that would go first. That would be the first step. And then eventually they're like, oh, maybe we can take selfies on a wristwatch. But like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Are people wanting to use, say, I don't know, 12 megapixel camera on a wristwatch that they have to kind of like move their arm up to contort it to ridiculous positions? Like, I don't know. Maybe there is usability for it. But I think we're probably a long way off.
Samsung did that originally, of course, with the mm-hmm. with the camera and the band. But yeah, I think my interest from it is like having a world-facing camera. I think that's a powerful point of view, and I'd be curious like what a modern take on that would be, like with a semi-decent camera. But I think the QR code stuff you mentioned would be pretty interesting. In terms of face authentication, I think something a bit more tamer would be getting a fingerprint sensor on there.
On the crown.
On the crown.
Yeah, I think that would be doable. I think I'm sure someone has done something similar to that, right? Someone must have done it already.
I think my idea. I think I would want a fingerprint sensor. So like on the Pixel phones that had Pixel imprint You could like swipe up and down.
I love that.
Quick settings. I think if they bring that to a smartwatch, put on the side where you swipe up and down, I think that's so much better idea than having a rotating bezel in the case of the Galaxy watches. I haven't like used. Like on the Galaxy Watch 4 when they had the digital version, I wasn't a big fan of that. But I think I do like the idea since like the screen is so small, you want to get every usable inch and like a fingerprint sensor might be interesting as a way to scroll.
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, I don't know if you have this problem. I tend to not have my payment cards on my wristwatch. Because sometimes having to enter my PIN on such a small screen entry with Gboard, whatever it is so irritating that I just don't want the hassle. Like, I would rather go to the extreme of pulling my phone out of my pocket. I say the extreme, that sounds ridiculous. But taking my phone out of my pocket and unlocking with a fingerprint or whatever it happens to be and pay for something that way, then I would open my watch, unlock it, type in my PIN, and then try and pay. Like, that is, I've done it once, and it took probably three extra steps. I was like, this is far too slow. So having an ability to just like scan my fingerprint quickly, like a finger either side of the screen, and then just tap. That would be such a time saver rather than the typing aspect. And that would be, I think that would be kind of cool. I'd like to see that. But whether or not someone is willing to put it in there for security purposes.
Yeah, it's. I think Google needs to be one that's taking the lead on that or eating the cost of the R&D. That which reminds me, using my watch as a payment method is like my big thing. That's like pretty. I do that pretty frequently, actually. It feels more convenient than a phone at times. Wear OS really needs to increase from 4-digit pins to like at least 6. That's been annoying.
This is probably really bad from a security perspective, but I end up having the same passcode for my phone lock screen as I do my wristwatch, and I'm sure a lot of people do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, if I could try and counteract that with another security measure, then I think that would be sensible from my perspective. Like, if I lost my phone and my watch, and someone got my pin, then I'm kind of destroyed. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a note. That's a note that I need to make now, a mental note to go and change the passcode on my watch to something different than my phone.
That's like some hardware desires, wish list, maybe. So in terms of the software, are you happy? Again, you've used the Apple Watch, you've used Wear OS with the Pixel Watch version and the Samsung's version. What's your take on which do you prefer of all of them?
I really do like the Samsung version. And the reason why I like the Samsung version is Samsung's One UI on smartphones can be a little bit overbearing, but on a smartwatch, it's kind of like you can go through the menu system and say I'm sure you do this as well as I do. Sometimes we forget where something is. It's almost like the watch works out that you're in the wrong position. And at the bottom, it has those hyperlinks to send you to the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to do that across every version of every mobile OS, wherever it happens to be, because that is a lifesaver. And I just really like, if I'm being honest, I just really like the way that they've implemented things like the app drawer and stuff. Like it's very similar to what Apple has done.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent Apple update, I don't know which version Watch OS version it is. But I just think that adding widgets and stuff was just too much. I'm like, I can do that with complications on the screen. Like I can choose my watch face and that's fine. I don't need all of these stupid extra utilities that is trying to turn a smartwatch into a small computer.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, you don't need that. Whereas for me, clean and simple, I do like the Pixel Watch's UI. I think so. It needs a little bit of something extra. I don't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
There's something missing and I can't tell what it is. But I think Samsung like strikes that fine balance between both. It's like one step in that Google's ultra clean, ultra clinical, and Apple's here, have every single feature that's ever existed, ever on a watch.
OS like, feels like a photo. It's entering phone complexity area. And my thing, I do like the simplicity of Wear OS, specifically the Pixel Watch version. Tiles, as more tiles have come out, I'm using them much more. I have like 9 or 10 that I cycle through at this point, which... the utility has gotten there, so I'm glad that more apps are adding it. It's still very much first party heavy, but I think tiles are getting there. But to what you were saying with the grid, with the app grid, we've been tracking an actual grid instead of the wrist on the Pixel Watch that you get right now. The wrist is totally inefficient in terms of you only get to like see 3 apps at a time or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so like irritating at times.
On a grid. So that should be an upcoming thing. I'm not sure if we have to wait for Wear OS 5 for that. Hopefully it comes much sooner. But on that note, we've reported that Wear OS 5 is based on Android 14. So that should be the next big thing that's coming to the platform.
I guess with that change though, that could address my personal gripe with the Pixel Watch being clinical in that Material U is more integrated, right? I know that's like a
that's something dynamic color in quick settings.
Yeah, like I would love to see the dynamic color either pulled from whatever watch face I choose, or maybe even from my device. Like, yeah, that'd be great to be able to sync across devices. Like, I think that's probably the missing piece. I think that's because I've obviously I use a Pixel 8 Pro every day, and it's very much like, this is my phone because this has tuned to how I use it. And I think maybe that's what's missing for me for the Pixel Watch. But I just quickly wanted to mention that I don't know if you tried the TicWatch Pro 3, but that was one of the first to have a dual.
Yes, dual.
It had its own like mini, it was almost like a mini launcher for the app drawer.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's been the best solution I've seen so far. Like, you could see, I think at six, the scrolling system was great. It was just like two apps side by side. And that's not like too much info.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe the Apple Watch is like, that has that like bubble grid, or you can have the list view, but you at least you know, okay, I can decipher what these two applications are, because hey, we all do it where we install applications and we're like, what the heck is that app icon? Like, I do it so much, and I'm like, I'm even looking at my Galaxy Watch 6 app drawer now, and I'm like, there's all of these Samsung pre-installed applications. I'm like, I don't understand what these mean, because it's not necessarily clear.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that looks like I guess it's a heart rate thing, but then you can use the Fit app to do that. There's a lot of like, there needs to be some sort of like continuity with that. And I think TicWatch did it best so far. But I'm interested to see how Google does it with you said 9 app grid?
Yeah, I think it's 9.
Sounds interesting.
Starting to see a fourth though. But yeah, that's
okay, that'd be cool.
That's something to look forward to. Hopefully, I feel like we would get an announcement at I/O May-ish, and I'm sure Samsung will get to be the first device to launch with it in August or July, and Pixel Watch 3 in October-ish. But yeah, that's what we have to look forward to in Wear OS.
I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but how do you think Gemini fits into the potential for wearables in future? Do we get more powerful functionality without having to have so much under the hood power? Because that's what we've complained about for a long time. And we complained earlier in this podcast that the power has always been an issue, but maybe offloading some of that could work.
I don't think Gemini makes sense on a watch. Like, the smart features that I want are more like at a glance, like the at a glance complication on the Pixel Watch.
Mm-hmm.
That shows you, it updates to show you the weather, to show you any upcoming appointments, when you have to leave an appointment, time to leave, traffic kind of thing. That's more the stuff I want to see from a watch, I think. I'm not, like, simple voice commands, which Google Assistant excels at least on the phone. I think that's what I want most from like smarter watch experiences. That's like, for example, I really want like an at a glance watch face, an entire watch face made by Google that's just focused on showing you preemptive information and smarts. I think that's what I'm looking forward to in terms of much more than anything Gemini related, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very interested in to see if, I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there will be some level of Gemini integration.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wear OS, it's in the future, inevitable.
But like, for me, it seems very much like it could be an easy win to have like fitness and like tracking data analysis. Like, you can have the AI handle a lot of the big number crunching information and pick out trends in your health data, probably better than a basic machine learning algorithms. Like, I think that probably is where I personally see the value in Gemini, but I guess it depends, doesn't it? I guess it depends how Google does it. If they're caring about, like you say, like everything being at a glance, or if they want it to be fully, you dive in and have to use applications. And I think, yeah, you probably summed it up with the Tiles thing quite succinctly, that Tiles are probably the best solution for this form factor for most people. Like, you don't, diving in through menus and stuff on such a small interface is tough.
The Fitbit app is, I use it a lot actually, but it is a long scroll. It is what it is.
And like, do you foresee any other potential players in the space? Like, I know we've seen OnePlus jump in the last couple of months, like after complaints that they made a not smartwatch smartwatch? Do you think we see any more players in the next? Because Wear OS is having this like reinvigoration, but we're seeing players leave. But who do you think could essentially jump in and really take on? Because it really is Google and Samsung right
now.
Yeah,
I think OnePlus was like, in terms of the Western market anyways, I think that that's filling out the top. It could fill out the top three position. We'll see what TicWatch does. Fossil, as obviously, they did not make the transition to Wear OS 3 successfully. In it's tech companies are going to win this. It's like the most basic of sentiments, but I think that's, I don't know. I kind of want to see Tag Heuer make another expensive Swiss smartwatch. That'd be fun to see. But I'm not sure who else gets into the market.
So, from my perspective, so long as they don't just continually use the Snapdragon 4100
yeah,
consistently, like that, that can just die a death. I just do not care. That was the, yeah, that wasn't a nice time for smart wearables. So at least there's some like kind of something on the horizon that's going to be like usable at the very least. So I don't know. It seems like we're very hopeful, but at the same time, nothing's really fully scratched the itch.
And I think that's a good place to end this podcast. This has been Pixelated. So on weeks where there's not so much news, we're shifting away from a recap to like this, I don't know, audio essay of sorts. We hope you liked it. So Pixelate, you can get Pixelated on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including YouTube Music. If you previously subscribed to Alphabet Scoop, Pixelated is already there. You might want to refresh your cover art. But besides that, yeah, everything is updated. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Damien. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.